Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. As we kick into the second hour of the show, I want to say hello to all of our Arizona friends and just our online friends and everybody, friends all over the place. Yeah, it's great to have you with us on this last weekend in March. Joining me in the boardroom is Alex Zatarain.
Yeah? You got it. You got it.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I can't roll my R's, though. Yeah, we had a great first hour. Went by very, very fast. We had John Epps from the Center for Nonprofits and the RAP Foundation. Really interesting insight on what happens here in the Coachella Valley with nonprofits. So, and of course, I formed my own nonprofit, Artifacts and Arts Across America, and the whole idea with that is we will search the country for historic small-town communities and showcase their role in shaping the United States. And I'm really, really excited about this because a lot of feedback. I mean, basically, I've wanted to feature these places for so long, but it takes dollars. All of production cost for media is not inexpensive.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. It's working at a community college radio station,
yeah,
and going through all the equipment, all the new stuff that we've been getting because we did move to a new facility this past fall.
Right.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And College of the Desert, that's a nonprofit, isn't it? The school, I think.
Yes,
because they collect donations and whatnot. And so what you'll be doing there basically really all goes back to your teaching people how to be in the industry, the entertainment industry.
Precisely.
Yeah, so it comes all back to being classes. So anyway, very, very interesting. But this hour of the show, we have a fun lineup for you. Kim Richards is going to join us. She has never been on my show before, but yet I have been following her on Facebook for quite a while, and she is, I just called her the queen of the day trips because she goes to all these places that are nearby, and she finds, what I really enjoy about Kim is she finds there's something quirky and different everywhere we go. A lot of times we're driving so fast that we don't see it. We don't stop and take the time to find out that maybe this bridge has been there for 100 years. It was a bridge that I don't know whoever used, or it just, she'll come up with some great stuff. So I said, Kim, be on the show. So she is going to be joining us later on the show. Going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about how she got into this adventure spirit of hers. Because sometimes people just don't think along. We're so busy going from point A to point B that you forget there's something in between.
Yeah, and going back to you're just going to one location and you don't focus on anything around you.
Right.
My dad has always been somebody that, he didn't want us, paying attention to anything other than our surroundings. Mm-hmm. So whenever we made a trip, he always wanted to make sure that we saw what was going on around us. So I'll be driving to San Diego with my fiance and her, siblings. I'll be like, oh, there's this over here, and there's this over that. And they're kind of just wondering, why do you know all these places? Well, it's because I paid attention.
Right.
And if they don't pay attention, it's usually because they're on their phones the whole time.
Yeah, which is so sad. So sad. All these monuments that you see along the road, historic monuments, take the time to stop and read them, and you will be fascinated. I know it's going to Bakersfield when you go through Tehachapi, and it's 395? No, it's not. It's 58. 395 goes straight. That goes up to Tahoe. But I think it's 58 that you turn. You go through Adelante, and you go through there where the Boron factory is.
Mm.
And there are still wagon wheel ruts in the side of the roads in some places, believe it or not, that people don't even realize they're there.
Yeah, and the Tehachapi area is actually really cool because you also have the Tehachapi Loop.
Yeah.
You have museums in the area that typically wouldn't know are there.
They have the
It's really cool.
Famous pie restaurant there. Apple pie. And then you also have the airport out there where they've launched missiles. They also have the graveyard for jets out there and whatnot. So, it's really interesting all the places we go. So, anyway. That's where we're going with all this. So today's show is brought to you in part by Thai Smile and El Paseo. We want to thank them. A lot of things. I was busy last week doing all sorts of things. New week coming up. I'm all excited about it. I was not on KESQ yesterday morning. I should be back next week. And I am going to be posting a new blog on CoachellaValley.com, a new travel blog about Oatman, Arizona. So tell you where it, which actually historic Route 66 runs right through Oatman, Arizona. And a lot of people don't realize that.
A lot of people don't realize where Route 66 goes.
Yeah, or what it is.
Yeah.
Chicago to L.A., 2,300 miles when it was finished. Yeah. So anyway, here's some news, though, that I was looking at the news in the travel world. Did you hear about the Norway cruise ship? Did you see this video either online or on television?
No,
this was something. There in Helsinki, rescue workers off of Norway's western coast rushed to evacuate 1,300 passengers and crew, imagine this, from a distressed cruise ship by helicopter. 1,300 people they pulled off by helicopter. One right after. They might have had a basket that had a few in it at a time. But the ship, the waves were so high. What is it? Gusts of winds up to 43 miles per hour. Waves over 26 feet. They showed video of people that were waiting to get rescued of the ship just tilting. They were worried because actually something was happening with the engines on the ship, and they thought the ship was going to go into the hills, the rocks, the rocky shore. They thought it was just going to drift over into that. They luckily got the ship, the anchor out, and got that part of it stopped. They had the people off, but they're showing. I don't know what I would. I don't even know. I would certainly be seasick at that point. I mean, it was tilted almost at whatever degree angle this is. All the furniture was sliding back and forth, and just wow. But I started thinking about, can you imagine what the rescuers had to go through? Helicopters, these gale force winds, rescuing people off this cruise ship.
And it's 1,300 of them, so they have to work quickly. I wonder how many helicopters they had available to them.
I don't know. It did not say. And I was thinking, too, of that same process. I just said, what, really, what an endeavor it must have been. And hats off to all the service people who rescued them. But, wow, something. It said everybody had their life vests on, but some of the ship windows, the waves broke through some of the ship's window, and cold water was flowing into the ship, of course. I mean, very scary.
I wouldn't know what to do in that situation.
And really, what kind of surprised me about all this, cruise ships, folks, I mean, they are very diligent about following the weather and about keeping you out of the weather. I mean, I've been on several cruises before, and if there's a bad weather in one area, they'll either miss the port completely and say, we're going to bypass it because the weather's just bad there, and we don't want to go there. They have the options to do that. They'll go out to sea farther. They do their best to try and avoid bad weather. It's not as if they think we're in this mega ship, nothing's going to happen, we'll just go right into it. They don't do that. So I'm surprised that this storm caught them off guard, but they have these sophisticated weather systems on these ships. So I'm amazed that this ship was caught in that situation. I'm sure they'll be looking into it and seeing why this actually happened. Because it just isn't something that normally happens out there, like I say. All right, other in travel news, real quick on that. Of course, all these reports are coming in about the jet disasters, which are just so horrific. But now they're seeing that something that I had said quite, you know, several weeks back when the second one happened, that I don't think the pilots really understand the manuals, the translation from English to a different language. And now they're seeing that that was part of the problem, that they weren't finding what they needed to find quick enough. And so, and of course, there was some part on the jet too that they're finding that you had to pay more to get that part. Mm-hmm. The sensors, you saw that. Yeah. And why wouldn't things like that be automatic? I mean, yeah. Boeing is going to have a huge backlash.
Boeing should have a major backlash and a financial backlash as well for putting people in danger. Because that's really all it is. Why are you going to be charging airlines extra for a safety feature?
Yeah.
That you can't do that.
That should be on there. So just, yeah, terrible, terrible stuff. So, all right. Today, like I say, we have Kim Richards joining us. We also have some news. I have tickets now to, Alex is getting up, and I know he's coming back. He's coming back. And I will have these online as well for the Garden Jam Music Festival. But what I'm going to do right now, I have two tickets to see Linda Carter on April 6th, yes, the original Wonder Woman. And I hear she gives a heck of a show, a really good show, at Temple Isaiah in Palm Springs. Your tickets will be at will call and the winner's name. And if you would like to go see Linda Carter on April 6th at Temple Isaiah in Palm Springs, give us a call now at 760-440-8255. I know she was here a year or so ago. She did, I heard, a very, very good show. So again, Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, April 6th, Temple Isaiah. It's an evening show. I sorry I didn't write the time down. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. Go ahead, and we are going to go into the break, but that's okay. The line's still open for that. And with that note, Alex, why don't you take us out? And when we come back, we'll talk about more travel news right here on Traveling with Françoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. And we have our winner on the line. I hope she's still there. Anna?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. And where are you calling from?
I live in Cathedral City.
Okay, all right. And you're going to go see Linda Carter.
I am. I'm super excited.
Oh, well, congratulations to you. They will... Actually, I'll send you a little bit of information about... She's going to be at Temple Isaiah in Palm Springs. I have all the info, but the tickets for you will be at Will Call. So I can send you a little note, or if you have a... Gave Alex your number, I'll just text it to you. How's that?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the show.
Okay.
All righty. Okay, thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.
All right, so there you go. She's the winner. Yeah, I forget when we have the tickets at Will Call that sometimes I need to get the people the information. So I can't remember everything, Alex.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's all right. So the same thing for our Garden Jam Music Festival winners. Make sure we have a phone where I can text them, and I'll text them the information. All right, what else is happening in the world of travel? Well, this is sponsored by the Cabot's Pueblo Museum, so go on over there. They have a lot of things going on. In fact, this weekend they have their Kachina doll artists there, Hopi Kachina doll. They have a cultural weekend, the last of their cultural weekends happening this weekend. Today would be the last day at the Cabot's Museum, and that is on Desert View Avenue in Desert Hot Springs. You can go to their website, cabotsmuseum.org. Now, for those of you who love the Golden Gate Bridge, well, the toll is going to cost nearly $10 to go over it by 2023. Yes, a trip across Golden Gate Bridge is about to get more expensive. The reports show that the officials, press Democrat reports that Golden Gate Bridge officials, they have their own bridge officials, voted Friday to raise the toll up to $9.75. The first increase will come in July when a trip from the North Bay from San Francisco will rise from $7 to $7.35. Toll hikes are expected to raise an estimated $100 million over 5 years and help transportation officials buy another ferry boat to meet growing demand and add service between Larkspur and San Francisco. So they want a boat so people don't have to use the bridge? Is that what I'm reading here? They want to buy a ferry boat with the money, so they must be ferrying people back and forth as well.
I'm guessing it's maybe something having to do with BART, maybe? Like, maybe it's a... I don't know.
It says, listen to this. According to the California Department of Transportation, between 112,000 and 119,000 motorists use that 17-mile span each day.
Man.
No wonder they want to ferry them back and forth. Wow. Yeah. Just think about it. 119,000 motorists each day?
Wow.
And the span is one... Oh, no, excuse me, it's not 17, it's, I need my glasses, 1.7 mile span each day. That makes even more.
That is all right. Incredibly insane.
I will never complain again when I sit, if I have to sit going over that bridge. because you usually have to sit in the toll a little bit to get there. That's incredible. All right, other travel news. Forbes Travel Guide debuts star ratings. 2019 Forbes Travel Guide launched ratings in 11 new destinations, with Portugal, South Korea, Malaysia, Turkey, and Vietnam receiving 5-star ratings for the first time. And all 210 properties received the 5-star award. Peninsula Hotels became the first hotel group to receive the 5-star rating for its entire portfolio. So that is definitely some big news. Also, I talked about this earlier on the air. The Gerber Group will manage the sunken lounge bar at the 512-room TWA Hotel at New York's JFK. In a nod to the space's 1960s origins, the cocktail menu will feature favorites of the era like an aviation, made with creme de violet, maraschino liqueur, and gin. Whew. Wow. Sounds strong to me. Floor-to-ceiling windows will offer views of the 1958 Lockheed Constellation parked outside. I would really like to see this lounge. I think it sounds pretty cool.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
It really does. I would like to go see this. Now, remember I talked to you, I told you guys that I think it is in, I want to say, was it Norway?
Yeah, also, the hotel.
Where they put the jet, the jumbo jet, right in the middle of the grounds. You know what I'm talking about. Right in the middle. It's not the park. Well, they made it into a park right in the middle. But, you look every day out the window and you see a big 747 sitting out there. So that would be, I don't know, that would inspire you to want to travel, I guess. But I'm sure they were going to make it into a restaurant inside. They have to do something with it beside it just sitting there. It has to have some purpose, some use to make money, frankly. So anyway. All right. On that note, before I go into more industry news, because I know when Kim comes on, we have a lot to talk about with her. I have two tickets for Friday, April 5th, for the Garden Jam Music Festival at the Indian Wells Tennis Gardens. Now, these tickets will be for you at Will Call. These are very expensive tickets as well. And these are for Friday night, April 5th, for the Garden Jam Music Festival at the Indian Wells Tennis Gardens, 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. I will give Saturday's tickets away on a different show, probably next weekend, or I will do it online or Facebook or something. I'll let you know for sure, but they will be given away probably on next week's show. Even though I won't be here, I'll be at the Indian Wells Arts Festival or at the Indian Wells Tennis Gardens, in fact, where this is going to be. So two tickets for Friday, April 5th for the Garden Jam Music Festival, 760-440-8255 at 760-440-8255. Give us a call. All right, and other industry news, all visitors heading to Lake Elsinore to see the poppy super bloom this weekend must take shuttles to reach Walker Canyon, officials announced on Thursday. They were saying there's just so many cars there that they announced at the news conference that shuttles will run from 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. and cost $10 per person. No pets except for service animals will be allowed on the shuttles. Authorities opted to run shuttles as a way of maintaining order after tens of thousands of people descended on Lake Elsinore to view the blooming poppies on the hills near Interstate 15. All right, I think it's fabulous, all the flowers out there. I really, really do. But I was saying to my mother yesterday in the car, I said, what is it, though? We have beautiful flowers that bloom every year, all over the place. In Carlsbad, they have the gigantic flower fields and all this. And yes, it's different that we have the flowers blooming out in these big fields. But does it take one big bloom for people to even notice flowers? I don't know.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot of the changes that they made to Lake Elsinore, especially considering the shuttles, is because a lot of people were getting injured, too.
True.
Making the trip over there, you know, walking and whatnot.
That normally don't walk on a hillside. Yeah.
But you're right. There's so many other things around that, you know, are very similar.
Yes.
Maybe if we looked around a little bit more.
Right. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. Not just because we have a bloom. All right, Boeing 737 MAX has enabled airlines to fly further than they could before with a narrow-body jet. So the plane's type worldwide grounding following the Ethiopian Airlines crash has left some airlines struggling to fly routes that are ideal for the 737 MAX, but not so for other aircraft. So this really is causing a lot of disruption, which it should, frankly. I think the grounding was so called for, I wouldn't want to fly on one until they knew what was going on. But now they're having to figure out how they're going to get those people that were flying those routes and get other aircraft to do so. So if there is a little bit of delay, if you were flying one and it's changed, so just be patient with all of this. All right, JetBlue seats wider in revamped cabin, but with less legroom. This is what we didn't want to hear. The new seats measure 18 plus inches in width, which is good. They've added some width, but the space between rows has been reduced from 34 to 32 inches to accommodate more passengers. So that means if you sit in the aisle seat and people are already banging you with their bags and stuff that they're dragging to the back of the plane, you're going to be hit more because now there's 2 inches less of space. Yeah. So they're getting more passengers. You're getting wider seat, but less leg room in front of you. I mean, anyway. Air Canada was named the cleanest airline in North America by Skytrax 2018 World Airline Awards. Passengers scored airlines' cleanliness in areas including seats, tables, lavatories, carpets, and cabin panels. So Air Canada is the cleanest jet out there, which that is very nice to hear. And a new generation screening machine is aiding in Oakland's airport's quest to fend off insider threats from employees and airline staff. Unlike security screeners that flyers are accustomed to at TSA checkpoints, the Edge system is able to detect bomb materials in addition to metal objects. They have an algorithm system with artificial intelligence. I mean, it's pretty sophisticated that ordinary objects that individuals would be expected to be carrying, such as cell phones, wallets, and keys, they already recognize those. Another plus is that subjects can be scanned as they are walking, and you do not have to stop. So technology. And I think it's good now that they kind of figured out what keys and stuff are, but so anyway, and once they flag the people, of course, then there they go, they're going to check everything you have. All right, on that note, I think it is time for us to step aside. Oh, here was a whole article on Route 66. We were talking about Route 66. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk with that with our guest. We're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, Kim Richards joins us, and why I'm having Kim on the show, it's because she, like I said, is a day tripper. She's found some amazing little places. I can't wait to hear about them. I'm always looking for something new and adventurous. So stick around for more Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today, as I am eager to introduce another new guest to the show, one in the first hour, one in this hour, and that would be Kim Richards. I know her as Kimmy Sue on Facebook. So hi, Kim.
Hi, Francoise. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it is a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's great to have you. I want you to make sure you pull that mic a little bit closer to you. This is your first time on radio.
Yes, it is.
Well, but we wouldn't know that because you are all over the place on Facebook with all your pictures. But before we go any farther, folks, I want to just let you know that this show, the segment of the show, is brought to you in part by Animal Samaritans, helping improve the lives of animals and people since 1978, where there are no-kill animal shelter for dogs and cats, your pet adoptions, pet foster care, free animal-assisted therapy to disabled children. They do so much. So check out their website, animalsamaritans.org, or call them at 760-343-3443. And remember, all the information of all of our sponsors here of the show are on the website, travelingwithfrancoise.com, which will eventually change over to Artifacts and Arts Across America. So, but still going to have all the great fun stuff. All right. So, Kim, where's Kimmy Sue come from?
You know, it's my first name and my middle name, and I have it because I didn't want my last name on there when I first got on Facebook because of my job back then. I used to be in human resources, so I like to keep my world separate.
All right, because all I knew was Kimmy Sue, and then all of a sudden from your email, I said, wait a minute, her name is Kim Richards. So I guess I ought to call her regular name. So, Kim, let's talk about, first of all, what you do. Where do you work?
I work for the La Quinta Museum, and it's a great small museum in La Quinta. A lot of people don't know about us, so please come and visit. And I'm just a museum assistant. This is my second life. I used to be in human resources, and when I retired, I was able to go do a fun job. I work 2 days a week, and it's right up my alley because I'm able to do research, and the history part of it is what I love. So
yeah, and people don't realize, I say this in bits and pieces throughout the show at different times, that there is so much history right here in this Coachella Valley that they have no clue. I don't think people realize that there was an airport in Palm Desert at one time.
And there was one in Indio, too. I mean, we have all kinds of abandoned airfields all over this desert that people were not aware of. So really fun stuff, and that's really what I do. I love to go find things that aren't there anymore or try to find what the history of something was that is totally different now, and that's just what I love about the desert because it's full of it.
It's full of it. Now, are you a California native?
Yes.
Oh, so we're both California natives.
Yes.
And when I was little, my parents, we always did the Sunday ride. Did you do the Sunday ride?
With my grandparents, once in a while, we did.
And I would dread the Sunday ride.
Oh,
I don't know why I did. First of all, because I got car sick. People know that through the years that, 17 years on the air, I probably said too much about something. But anyway, I would dread it. But it was like a requirement. We all go for a Sunday ride, which actually a lot of them were fun. But as kids, you never want to admit that. My brother and I would rather argue about stuff in the back seat than admit that we're having a good time. But what I have found, because of those Sunday rides and having little things pointed out to me of the old farm over there, or what used to be there. Look at it now. It's something different. Or look what's going up there. Or those type of experiences stay in your head.
Absolutely. And what I love about the desert is you will be driving somewhere and you think it's just a vacant desert field. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there was something there, and I'll go do the research. Like right off of the 10 on Harry Oliver Street, there was Harry Oliver's castle, or not his castle. It was he called it a castle. Mm-hmm. Or fort. And now it's an AMPM or a Chevron. And it's
really?
Just that fun old stuff that nobody knows about. They just pass on the freeway and they don't really realize it's there anymore.
And I talk about the Cabot all the time. I always tell people, you need to go to the Cabot. You need to go one time and look at it, because it will give you an idea of what you're talking about, a castle. What they thought up there was quite luxurious, because he had to make it nicer for his second wife, I think. She didn't want to live in a little shack. She's going, step it up there. It takes you back on how things were in the Coachella Valley. And all these old buildings that people are so quick to tear down.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I do is I'll find little adobe houses that are still there but kind of melting back into the earth. And I don't like to tell people where they are, because I'm afraid that, you know, somebody's going to go in there and graffiti it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of research on Google Earth, and I get a lot of my information by joining Facebook groups and finding some of the old stuff that people have forgotten about, and I just go find it. And I don't know, it makes me happy.
Well, you're always so excited. Your posts are always exciting, and you will take, and what I really enjoy about Kim's post, folks, and you might want to follow her on Facebook. Sorry about this.
No,
Kimmy Sue, is you will take, you'll take a photograph of something, and I imagine you don't post all your information right then and there, because you have a lot of info when you find some things. There was a bridge, I think, in... was it a bridge or a tunnel over by the ocean?
I'm trying to think what that was.
Or archway. Is. Maybe it was the archway, because there's so many different...
In Dana Point.
The Dana Point, yeah. And archway. I have to say, I'm reading that, and I thought to myself, if she remembered all this from, I don't know. But I think now I get your stick here, that you research it after you find these things, and then you post the information. But I was, frankly, I was really excited about that post.
Thank you. No, sometimes I find it first I do my research, and then I will go look for it and take pictures. And, you know, a lot of the times I'll just be in the moment and I will do my post when I'm at that place, because I can see it, I can feel it, and mm-hmm. I've already done, you know, and I don't put too much information. I try to do a little bit of history so it keeps people's interest.
Right. And tell us about that arch in Dana Point. It was...
Oh, that was from the old Dana Point Hotel that was built like in the 20s, and it never was finished, and they kept one part of this arch there on the side. And you would have to know where it is. There's a beautiful walkway that you can go and walk right by it, but you can take the most stunning pictures because the ocean is in the background. But the building never got built.
Isn't that something? All these little bits and pieces. Now, where do you like to focus, Kim? Do you like to focus on finding things here in the Coachella Valley? I like the fact that you do these day trips as well. You don't hesitate to hop in the car and just go somewhere.
Much to my husband's chagrin.
He's with you a lot of times, though. Yeah,
sometimes, yeah. He's an accountant, and uh-huh. so he doesn't love all the money I spend on gas. But, you know, he knows I love to do all this, so
yeah.
I read about something, and the next day I will jump in the car and go find it. And I love focusing on the Coachella Valley, because I get a lot of questions when my friends come out from Orange County or mm-hmm. LA, like, what should I see? And so I just love to go out and look for things, and then so I have a good history to talk about. But also being at the museum, I get so many tourists that come in and want to know, what do I need to see? Where do I need to go? So it just gives me a good background of being able to help them as well.
Help them, because there are more things than the major attractions that we easily tell people to go and see.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I think they're fantastic that we have those, but I mean, a lot of people don't realize that what we were underwater at some point here.
Oh, yes.
This whole valley was
ancient
part of the
Lake
ocean.
Korea.
And
uh-huh.
I know in some areas they still have tribal that are off limits to visitors. They can't go see them, but where they have old huts and fishing traps and whatnot for that date back, geez, I mean...
Absolutely. That was one of the places I dragged my husband to the fish traps, and he thought that was pretty cool. But the more people I talk to, the more places I get invited to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they just don't want me broadcasting where things are because they want to keep things as is. So I try to just bring it to my Facebook with photos.
Yeah, and you do a great job. And it's really important because, well, look at what's happening with this flower. We were talking about the big super blooms. I remember when it happened in Borrego Springs because I go down there quite often. And it was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare for Borrego Springs. They weren't ready for that kind of people. Everyone was trampling everything. It's
crazy. Yeah. We went to Walker Canyon a couple weeks ago in Lake Elsinore, mm-hmm. and it was a rainy day, thank goodness. So we got to see the poppies, but I was so sad to see these people walking through the poppies. And they had police stationed there, and they had trash cans and porta potties. And I said, why do they need all this? Why can't people just go view mm-hmm. the flowers, take their pictures, and move on? And unfortunately, just like Anza Borrego or Borrego Springs, they trampled through them, and it breaks my heart.
So we do have to worry when we're out there on the road. When I do trips, I always try to I try not to be a point A to point B person, because that's when you miss so many things. And now every trip that I've been on driving, because I do love to drive. Obviously, you love to drive.
Love to drive.
Yeah. See, we're drivers. Get in the car. So, and sometimes I make a joke that I'm like a dog, you know, where he sticks his head out the window and his tongue's hanging out. I get in the car. That's me. Everything. I can even drive by the airport and get all excited about. I think, who's going? Where are they going?
Yeah, there's always a backstory to everything you see. And, you know, you did a great program on the back roads from here to Vegas. And what was so nice is I had just done that road and didn't know all the stories. So I'm like, oh, this all makes sense. Now I can't wait to go back through Amboy again and see all the things that you got the behind the stories on. Well,
and the foo dogs.
Oh, my gosh. They're great.
You're looking at those. Why are those out there?
Yeah.
But the stories and, that is. There's a lot of things that we just tend to drive by and not realize. The volcano, for some reason, how many times that I looked at it going that way and it didn't dawn on me that is a volcano that is sitting out there.
That's on my list there. To go hike.
To go hike in the craters. All right. Well, we're going to step aside for just a moment. Kim Richards is joining us. She does a great job on Facebook of showing pictures of all these wonderful little odd places and things and historic buildings and such that she finds and talking about them. And now we know why, because she's with the museum as well. So we'll be right back and learn more. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. And Françoise Rhodes, your host, joining with me the first time is Kim Richards. And I called her the day, what did I call you? The queen of day trips.
Yeah,
I know. Everybody got a kick out of that. And because I appreciate the fact that you see something, you do a little research, you go and find it. And sometimes, a lot of times, we just end up stumbling across these things and have to research them afterwards. But after a while, when you see so much of these oddities, the historic buildings and places, you get the feel that there's something special.
Absolutely. One of my favorite places that I will go to is up Highway 74, and it's called the T1ette, and I hope I'm saying it correctly, Overlook. And it's up in Mountain Center, and it's a Cahuilla area that they have put together. You can push a button and hear the bird songs from the Cahuilla. It shows you how they've made, you know, they make food with the bushes up there. It's the most spectacular view I've ever seen. And I don't like to drive Highway 74, but mm-hmm. I will drive it to go there.
So now, this is all the way up at the top.
Yes.
I imagine. And I know where the restaurant is where you turn to go into, was it 274 or somewhere? So, but just, then they have to go to Idlewild. So you go straight towards...
It's just before the restaurant.
Oh, just before?
Yeah.
Really?
So once you get up the hill and it's no longer scary, then you'll see signs that say T1ette Overlook. And you just pull. There's a little parking lot and it's spectacular.
Huh. So how long does it take you to get from point A to point B? Because how many times
time.
Do you stop? I had a feeling, she packs a lunch everywhere she goes, so food, water, just in case. So that's one of your favorite places. What, Kim, has been one of the biggest surprises to you in the Coachella Valley that you stumbled across, and then you started asking around to find out what it was?
Well, and I don't know if this is Coachella Valley, but it's Joshua Tree. I had never been to Joshua Tree before I moved here, and once I went up there the first time, I fell in love with that crazy landscape, and I now have an annual pass, so I go a lot, do a lot of hiking up there, but you're always finding crazy stuff up there. You know, little old adobes that are melting back in the earth, graves that are from the miners that are just out randomly. One time I was out hiking by myself and a pack of coyotes kind of surrounded me. So I hurried up and ran to my car. I was fine. But that was probably, I didn't realize how big Joshua Tree was and how different it is from the top of it all the way down to the bottom in Cottonwood, just how beautiful the place is.
Because you can, there's another entrance off of the 10 that a lot of people, most of them go up over the back way into 29 Palms area, and they go that way to Joshua Tree. But yet off the 10, you can go in a different way. And a lot of people don't normally take that entrance.
And this is the time to do that entrance because it's called the Cottonwood Entrance, and the wildflowers right there are spectacular. I was there 2 weeks ago and they were just starting, and somebody I know was there yesterday and said they are beautiful right there, right off the 10. So you don't even have to go into the park to see them from there.
All right. So that was one of the areas. And when you're driving around the Coachella Valley, of course, we know a lot of the land is Indian owned. And it's, and I, when I travel across the state or whatever, I'm really into, I love the old barns and the old ranches.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of those here in the valley that people don't even know about.
I know, and that's one of my favorite things. If I see something, I'll go home and get on Google Earth and try to figure out what it is, do some, you know, records to see how long it's been there. But also, I just talk to a lot of people and find some of the old timers here, and they'll tell me a little bit about all the ranches. And, you know, as you get closer to the Salton Sea, you'll see a lot more down there as well.
And a lot of it is just conversation. When you talk to the old timers and they see that you have a passion, you're not looking to destroy. You're looking you're looking for information. They love to talk.
Yes, absolutely. They want to keep the, you know, the spirit of the history of the Coachella Valley alive. So they love when they find somebody who is interested in it. And that's me. I mean, I will talk to people for hours, and I glean little bits of information from each conversation. So it gives me something new that I'm going to go look for.
We were talking during the break, folks, about the back way to Vegas through the Mojave Preserve, through Wonder Valley and whatnot, and the Jack Rabbit Homesteads. I discovered that when I was doing the show. I started thinking, what are all these little homes? And the story behind them is incredible. And that's what, when you're driving out there, they, some of them look like just, you know, just dumps.
I don't know how to put them. Things.
A little band that just so sad, and they're abused and graffiti and all over. But all these little jackrabbit homesteads, and I'll give you a little information on why they're called that. Do you know why they're called that?
I don't,
you probably
no.
saw it in the show, but it's because the jackrabbits used to sit in the shade by the side of these after they were built. So then they got the nickname Jackrabbit Homestead in the afternoon when it was so hot.
That's hysterical. I didn't know that.
Stories. So let's also talk about where you, what interests you now. I know the wildflowers, you've been taking photographs and posting them on Facebook of the wildflowers. Where are you inkling to go? There's probably a few places that...
My next one, and I'm dying to get down there, is to go see the old Plank Road, which is close to Yuma, because, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, when people would come to the desert or try to get to L.A., they couldn't get over all these sand dunes, so they built this plank road, and part of it is still there, and you can see it on the side of the road, and I've seen it on Google Earth, but I've got to go see it with my own eyes, because I think the history of that is so cool.
And where is this?
It's right by Yuma. I can't think of the name of the little town, but it's
just... I'm making
just,
notes, folks, yeah, right now. Yeah.
Somewhere off of the 86, and...
I'm going to call Kim and have her say, Francois, you need to go this. We're going to have to work together, Kim, on
Absolutely.
All this stuff. All right. That's and that's going to be a little more in a day trip, though.
Well, it all depends on how quickly I can go. Yeah, okay. I mean, most likely it will, because there's so many things to go see. I'd like to go to Yuma. I've never been to Yuma. I just... That's one of them. Gosh, I'm trying to think some of the other places. Sometimes I just don't know where I want to go until it presents itself, and then I'm like so excited about it.
Some place you want to put on your list is the Titan Missile Museum.
Where's that?
Outside of Tucson. It's after Tucson, between Tucson and Tubac. It's incredible. So check it out. I want to do a show on that one. Yeah, it's really, people just drive by it, not know, but it was one of the nuclear, where there's still a rocket in the silo. That you can see is disarmed, but you can see with the Cold War and stuff, it's really fascinating.
Oh, so my goodness.
Check that out. And you, like I said earlier, you work for the La Quinta History Museum. And you have programs all the time over there.
We have amazing programs. and events. I mean, there's something going on every day. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4. And all of our events are free. Right now, our current exhibit is called Postcards from Mecca, and it's about two ladies that were in the 1920s taking photographs of the desert from Mecca down to the Salton Sea to Indio, and they were going to turn those into postcards to sell at the post office. So it's their adventures. And when you think about the 1920s and two single women out there with these miners and the aqueduct builders, the fun adventures they had. So it's a great exhibit. We've had people come from all over the world.
How fun. And La Quinta is a fairly new community in the Coachella Valley.
Yeah, we were incorporated in 1982. Now, the town has been there. It just was considered Indio at the time. But we had a lot of ranches in there. I mean, one thing I just found in La Quinta was this old abandoned baseball field that's behind this estate, right kind of in the center of town that no one would see. But I found it on Google Earth, so of course I had to go climb a wall and look for it.
And you posted pictures about it.
I did.
And whose field was it? Did you find out?
I think the resort actually owns the estate that where it's at. But you wouldn't, I mean, we had to go into a gated community to be able to even see it. So it's not something that people can go see, but it's a really cool thing.
That is interesting. Wow. Everybody wants to know how they can go play baseball out there on the field. And other things in the area, as far as how old are some of the homes in La Quinta, some of the historic homes, what do they date back to?
Well, for the most part, up in the Cove, we have the little casitas that were built in the 30s and the 40s. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, the Historical Society does a tour for those every 2 years. So those are real popular. But probably the oldest house I found in La Quinta is about 100 years old, but they're not inhabited anymore. They're just the adobe.
The adobe.
Yeah.
Right. And because the history of the valley and how it has grown and the tribes that lived here and the military that was here. I mean, never ending of what you're going to find out there in the desert. So really exciting. So, and I have to ask you one more question about the valley as a whole. Where do you tend to do a lot of your sightseeing? Do you go more down East Valley or?
It depends on the day and what I feel. Lately, I've been focusing on Salton Sea and all the weird art down there, the weird desert art of East Jesus, Salvation Mountain, and Bombay Beach. I take everybody down there because it's so much fun. Luckily, I do have some adventurous friends that like to hop in the car with me and go see weird stuff. So
It's fascinating. I mean, it's East Jesus. I spent, actually, one of the shows on that. I spent a long afternoon there just going, huh? And everybody was so nice. They're all in their own little world, but they're
absolutely so
nice.
Absolutely.
And Salvation Mountain, not that hard to find. You have to go to the Sunny Bono State Recreation Area and check that out too while you're down there. El Centro Naval Base is there at Blue Angels Train. Anyway, Kim, it has been so much fun having you on the show. I hope that you will come back.
Absolutely. Thank you. This was a blast.
Yeah, like I say, she's going to be my new road trip advisor. I'm just going to, Kim, what's up there? What do I need to go see? All right, folks, we're going to have to wrap up the show today. I want to thank you all for joining us. Congratulations to our winners today. Next week, I will be at the Indian Wells Tennis Gardens broadcasting live from the Indian Wells Arts Festival. So stop by and say hello. Alex will be back here in the station. Check our Facebook page. We have lots of changes going on. Website, so much. TravelingWithFrancoise.com and just all sorts of stuff. So everyone have a good one. We'll see you next time. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.